119. The book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And we're going to start all the way up at verse 89. Psalm 119, 89. This one is familiar, the first verse anyway. It says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." The word is settled in heaven. I don't care what anybody else said, no matter what somebody thinks, no matter what their opinion is. The word's already settled. It's the word and it's forever. Okay? So he says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." So notice it's to all generations, not just some generations, but to all generations. "Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me," or made me alive. "I am Thine, save me, for I have sought Thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider Thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but Thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through Thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep Thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep Thy word. I have not departed from Thy judgments, for Thou hast taught me. How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments." Now here, the psalmist, he's going out here, and he's just letting us know, and letting God know. And you understand that a psalm is a song to God. And so here, he's telling God, he says, "Listen, God, Your word's forever settled, and it's Your word that's still holding everything together." How many knows that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? And it's that same Word that's still holding everything together. Now, he goes on down and talks about his enemies and the wicked ones. You see, the wicked hate the Word of God because the Word of God reveals the truth. And the wicked don't want to hear the truth. Come on, they want to do their own thing, what they think and all that. They don't want the Word because the Word sets them straight. I don't care what you believe. You can believe anything you want to. But if what you believe is not backed by the Word of God, you believe wrong. You can get mad at me about that if you want to. But, you know, and it don't matter how you feel about something. You know, a lot of folks go, "Well, you know, now, Pastor Mike, I just feel that God..." I don't care what you feel that God... What did God say? Because, you know, I mean, that's what matters. His Word's forever settled. You're not going to change the Word of God by how you feel. Sadly, the world today thinks that that's what you can do. Well, you know, I just think, you know, because if you love, then that's God is love, and so love. No, see, love does not supersede the Word of God, even though God is love. Come on now, you see, folks want to talk mean about you and bad at you and get mad at you when you tell them the truth. But see, the wicked hate the truth because the truth reveals where they're at. Come on, the truth reveals where we're at. Amen. So he talks about the wicked, how they'd like to take him out. But then he goes on down and he says, you know, the righteous love Your word because it's setting them in a plane. Did you notice that he says in 101 there, it says, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep Thy precepts." Notice that. What's he saying? I understand more than my ancestors because I have the Word in my life. Come on. See, what you don't understand is this. You are a well-taught church. you get the word from whoever gets up here and speaks it to you. There, most of you have more word than a lot of the older preachers used to have. Because they only had so much understanding, so much revelation, and the truth is a lot of them didn't read much. They would just preach what somebody else preached. You see, and you've learned how to get into the Word and get in depth in the Word and understand what the Word means to you and what God has for you in His Word. It's more than just salvation. So, I mean, so the psalmist says, he said, I understand more than the ancients. And then for 104 there, he says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. See, the Word of God opens up our eyes to the truth. Amen. It comes from the Word of God. And so many people are blinded because they don't know what the Word of God says, or they won't even believe the Word of God. Now, let me show you something over here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's just begin reading verse 1. Look here. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice that it's the God of this world that's blinded people's eyes. Now, when you see the God of this world, you notice there it's a small g. It's talking about Satan. Amen. See, Satan is the God of this world system. He has that lease until Jesus comes and gets us. He got it when Adam failed in the garden. Okay? So here the psalmist says, listen, I'm not giving you the Word of God deceitfully. I'm not trying to trick you or anything like that. But here's the thing. I'm giving you truth, but if you let Him, the God of this world will blind you to the truth. Amen. You know, we got to understand that the enemy does not want us to know the truth. He does not want us to get understanding. He does not want us to know that we're anointed. He does not want us to know the rights and privileges we have that's been afforded to us through and by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He doesn't want us operating in those things. He wants to keep us blind. He wants to keep us down and out. He wants to keep us ignorant to the Word of God. Amen. See, for the most part, the world is ignorant when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. Now, they know some things about the Word of God, but unless they've been born again, you cannot rightly discern the Word of God. The Bible talks about that it's actually an enemy to God because they don't understand. You can't understand God in the natural. You have to see Him for the God that He is and understand Him in the Spirit. So you can't have your eyes blinded by Satan and still understand God. And it's sad to say that so many in this world are blinded. You know, and I'm just going to take this another step farther. There are people that are saying they're Christians, but they're still blinded to the Word of God. Amen. See, here's the thing, see, that blind, where people are blind a lot of times. How many in here are Christians? Almost everybody's a Christian, okay? So if we're Christian, that word Christian means that Christian, right? We follow Christ, right? Come on now, go kind of stay with me on this. Let me show you where some folks are blind, okay? If we're a Christian, that means we are a believer. It means we've accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're in covenant with Him. We believe that He's the Son of God, that He died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again. So He is our Lord and our Master, right? He has given us His Word, right? Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, right? We have the written Word. So if we're a follower of God, then the Word of God is our rule book and the final word on our lives. Can I get an amen, right? Okay. Now here's where it probably makes some folks mad at me. If what you do goes against the Word of God, then you're going against God. Now, you can get mad about me this if you want to, but if the Word of God says something's wrong, it's wrong. And you have to be very careful that you're not guilty by association. Come on. You see, you can know somebody's wrong and still love them. But you can't know somebody's wrong and approve of what they're doing or condone what they're doing. And you see, and that's where a lot of folks are blind, is the fact that the enemy's got them blinded. Well, you know, that's my family, you know, and I love my family. And you sure, absolutely you love your family and you try to support your family as much. But in supporting your family, if they're in the wrong, if you really love them, you tell them, you're wrong. I love you. I'll do anything I can to help you, but you're wrong. It don't matter if it's a son or daughter. Come on, it don't matter if it's a mother or father. It doesn't matter how close the family is. God is before that. Right? God first, husband and wife second, children, family coming right on down. Right? God is first. So that means that if the Word of God says something's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care what you think about it, your opinion is, what you believe about it, whatever. It don't matter what the world says about it. And it's sad that the world has been blinded now, and I don't want to get into this too much, but at the same time, people need to know some stuff. I mean, we need to hear the truth, right? Come on now. The truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. But let's just put out a truth or two, okay? You don't need a scientist or a doctor or anybody else to tell you the difference between a male and a female. Come on now. But you see, the world is blind to that, and they're trying to tell us that there's something wrong with me. Something wrong with you, because you can't see that there's got to be more than two genders. Come and see, but that's the blind world trying to tell you this. You have to be awake and alive to the Word of God and understand that the Word of God doesn't back that up. Come on, the Word of God does not back up a homosexual lifestyle. Come on, the Word of God does not back up transsexual and any all the rest of that junk. You know, and I know people hate me because I'm saying that. And I'm sure that a lot of the families in this church right here may even be, you've been touched by that somewhere in your family. It doesn't mean that you hate that person or you're against that person or anything else. But as a child of God, you must stand on the Word of God if you're going to be on God's side. Amen. So you've got to see that. And here's the thing again. Okay? It's none of my business. It's none of your business. Whether it's right or wrong, what somebody does in the privacy of their life. It ain't none of our business. Where it becomes my business is when you tell me I have to accept that it's right. You see, and that's the problem, because people are blind to see it's wrong. I don't care what you think or what you say. How do you know it's wrong, Pastor? Because the Word of God declares it's wrong. And the Word is the final authority. It's forever settled in heaven. God did not change His mind from Sodom and Gomorrah to now. He didn't change His mind. And we have to see this because, and I'm going to get into it just a little bit more, because I know there's some people hating the words that I'm saying right now. Okay? But I'm going to show you in the Word of God how they hated Jesus' words too. But here's the thing, church. You can hate me for saying that, but the truth is, if that lifestyle was legitimate, the human race would cease to exist. Come on, without the heterosexual lifestyle, without a man and a woman, humanity would cease to exist. Come on now. You see, and again, I'm talking about truth, and this ain't in my notes. If you're looking at my notes, I just feel the Holy Ghost just prompting me to go this way, because I'm going to tell you something. Our country's in trouble. Our country's in trouble, and they're wanting to go farther down the rabbit hole. I mean, they want to take it to the extreme, and all it does is just bring destruction. And we've got to get back to the truth of the Word of God. This country has to get back to the truth of the Word of God. It's what caused us to be formed. Come on. This country was formed based on the Word of God. Now, they weren't all Christians, I understand that. But the Word of God was a principal factor in the forming of this nation. Not the Quran. Not Buddhism, none of the rest. You know, people say, well, this is not a Christian nation. Well, that's what this nation was formed on, was Christianity. Amen. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. But again, people's eyes are blinded. Notice, he said that the God of this world would blind people's eyes to the fact, and they wouldn't even receive the salvation of the Lord. And I know people that way. I know people that are so hung up in politics that they'd rather go to hell than to admit that they're on the wrong side. I literally know people like that. And it's a sad account, because that's where the enemy's coming in and blinding people to the truth. So we need to hear the truth whether the world hears it or not. Now, go over here. I told you I'd show you. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, let's read verse 11 here and right on down. He says, I'm the good shepherd, Jesus is speaking. And he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is and hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Can I just stop for that right there for a minute? You know what Jesus just said? Jesus said a good shepherd will protect the sheep. A hireling runs and takes care of themselves and leaves the sheep to the wolves. A good pastor will tell you the truth. Now, I'm not saying I'm a good pastor, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I might get persecuted for it. People talk about me about it. It don't matter. I refuse to sugarcoat. I refuse to sidestep the issues because it's not popular. What I'm telling you right now is not a popular way to build up the church. But it is a good way to build up strong Christians. Those that really want the truth. You got the wrong man if you want your ears tickled. I'm going to just tell you that right now, because I'm going to give you what the Word of God says. And you might not like it, but the truth is, if you'll heed to it, it'll change your life. Amen. So that's what Jesus is saying. He said, you know, I'm the good shepherd. I'd give my life for the sheep. But the hireling, no, when he sees the wolf coming, he's gone. Because he doesn't care about the sheep at all. See, you've got to understand, in a lot of churches, there's pastors standing behind the pulpit who care less about the people. All they want is the job and the money. I was preaching before I ever got paid a dime, and I'll be preaching afterwards if I have to. Because God called me. God established me, and I believe God set us in this church and established this church. And He established it because He needed somewhere that we could tell the truth. And teach the truth and show you what the Word of God says without getting beaten around the bush and trying to make some people feel good by patting them on the back or whatever. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. I'll tell you, you can't live together. You need to get married. Come on. I'll tell you that sex outside of the marriage relationship is wrong. Amen. But, you know, a lot of folks just, they can't handle that. They don't want to hear that. But, you know, and again, see, you have to see how the world blinds people. We have a governmental system that tells you not to get married. I mean, you know, and from the world standpoint, I understand. A young man and a young woman can get together. They can have them a couple babies. The woman can get all of her college tuition paid for. She can get all the free stuff to raise the babies while the man's working on a good job. Come on, and the government encourages it. If they get married, all that gets cut off. There's no college education now. There's nothing for the baby. They got to fend for themselves like everybody else. But the government encourages it. You see, I mean, I don't care how you... Listen, I'm all for helping people that need help. I'm all for people that need help. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But see, folks get a little crazy when it comes to certain things. People wanting their college debt paid off and all that stuff. Yeah, I get it. You know, Stephanie had to get school loans, and some of them she's just got paid off not too long ago. She's been teaching a long time. But she also had friends who didn't care to lie and said they lived at somewhere besides their parents, and they got all their tuition paid for. And Stephanie had to pay back school loans to pay for her education. Now, here's the thing in all this. I also know folks that got all this school loans and got all this money, but they didn't use it on education. They bought pools. They partied. They did whatever they wanted to with the money, because there's nothing when they give them the money that says you have to use that on your education. It's a student loan. They give you the money. You do what you want to with it. So you're looking at me funny. But now they want you to pay it back. Don't get mad at me about this now. It's just another truth that you need to understand. You know, and I don't think God likes it. I sure don't like it. My daughter paid hers back. She worked at McDonald's and worked while she was going to college and all that to pay hers back. If they're going to pay off everybody else's, they ought to give her money back. I'm sorry, and everybody else just went through. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. We have to be careful, church, because we can let this blindness of the world bleed over in us. You have to be able to look and see the truth and understand that hirelings do not care about people. Okay? So when we have a government that don't care about people, you do understand the government has zero money, right? The government doesn't have a job. Doesn't have to work. But you do. And they tax you and take your money and do all this other foolishness with it. And then I'm not talking any particular politics now. I'm just telling you the government, that's what it's always done. Nothing wrong with helping people, but let's make sure we're helping somebody. I'm all for helping, but let's make sure they're getting help. Not just funding a party. Funding somebody's drug habit. Come on now. So Jesus here, he says, you know, I'm not the hireling. I'm not the one that's going to run. When the wolf comes, I'll be there to take care of you. Aren't you glad that's the way he is? So he goes on. Let me get on a little bit with this. He says, but a hireling, verse 12, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath the devil, and is mad. Why hear you him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, here's the first instance. Notice this. Jesus is giving them truth. He's telling them, they've always wondered, are you the Son of Man? Are you the Son of God? And he's telling them and giving them truth. And notice what it says. Because of what he's saying, they say he's got a devil. These are the words of the devil. But there were some there smart enough to realize a devil can't raise the dead. A devil can't heal. Can't be a devil. Look at the results. You're just listening to what he's saying. Look at the results. Come on, see, that's another step. A lot of people just, you know, they just listen to words, but they never... There's some good talkers out there. They can spin a rhyme, they can talk, they can, you know. But look at the results. See what's going on. See if God's in something or not. Don't matter how much they're talking it up. Come on now. You see, Jesus wasn't trying to talk it up. Jesus was giving them the truth, and some of them didn't like what he was saying, and they started trying to say he's got a devil. Why are you even listening to him? And they said, well, I don't see how he's got the devil, because we're seeing all these good things happening, right? The devil can't open the eyes of the blind. Go, let's read on. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now listen, then came the Jews round about him and said to him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Notice that. I've told you, but look at the works. They bear witness of my Father. He goes on and he says this, But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said, You are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent to the word, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Look at this. Jesus is telling them plainly. They asked him the question, tell us. He said, I've already told you, but you won't believe me. Because you don't want to believe what I say. So he goes on and says, even though you don't believe what I say, would you at least look at my works and see whether or not they're from the Father? He said, so even if you don't believe what I say, at least believe the works that I've done. And you know what they did? They wanted to stone him again and get rid of him. Why? Because they didn't like what he said. So let's get rid of him because I don't like what he says. It don't matter what his works are. It don't matter all the wonderful things he's done from the Father. We don't like the way he talks. So we just want to get rid of him. We're talking about Jesus here, who was showing them the mighty works of God and telling them when they asked the question. He told them, but that's not what they wanted to hear. It hurt them to the bone. See, here's the thing. If they believed what Jesus said, then what it was going to do was go against everything that they stood for. So they wanted to get rid of him. They had stood in religion so long. The Jewish leaders had stood so long telling the people what to do, making up scriptures. Jesus said, you've caused the Word of God to be in effect because you take the traditions of men and try to make them the commandments. Amen. You see, and so they've been so long doing that. Now Jesus is coming along and people's getting set free and being freed from religion and brought over into the kingdom of God. Now they're mad because people's not looking to them. They're looking to Jesus, looking to God. And so we have to see what's going on. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They just wanted him shut up. And if they had to kill him to do that, that's what they were going to do. And we know eventually they did. But he said, you know, would you just look at my works and at least believe the works? Would you just look at the results and at least believe the results? But that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to get rid of him. I said it a few minutes ago, but I got a little thing that the Lord showed me here. He said, here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the pride of humanity is so strong than rather admit that they need a Savior, some people would rather go to hell. The pride of humanity is so strong that rather than admit they need a Savior, they'd rather go to hell. Now, I promise you, a nanosecond in hell, they'll realize they were wrong. Real quickly, that pride's going to drop because it's too late though. See, that's it. You cannot procrastinate and you cannot wait. Well, I'll take my chances. Listen, once the breath leaves your body and the spirit's gone, you're going to either be with Jesus or you're going to be in torment. There's only two places, and you've got. I'm trying to give you another truth here. You've got to make sure that you make up your mind right now, because it's the devil, the god of this world, that'll tell you. Oh, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. I was walking around, even preached on Wednesday night after having a heart attack, and had no clue. Had no clue because I had no pain or anything like that. Just had low blood pressure and felt a little weak. And didn't find out until I finally went up to the emergency room and they did blood tests and said, they came in, you know, I told you this, but they came in saying, you know, you got any pain in chest? You had any chest pain in it? No. Why? Why? Because your levels are out the roof. You've had a heart attack. I said, news to me. But you see, just like that, now I know it was God in my life. But just as easily, whenever that happened, just like that, I could have left this earth. Now, I know I'm going to be with Jesus. Where are you going? Where are you going? Should that happen to you? Say, well, it never happened. I thought it never happened to me. I was healthy as a horse as far as I knew. Now, did I eat right? I knew better than that. You know, I knew I had some issues, and all my issues were tied to my eating. I knew all that. But I never would have dreamed that I had, you know, one artery 100% blocked and apparently four more 70% blocked. Now you talk, I'm a walking time bomb. You know, again, thank God for His grace and His mercy and He's watching over and taking care of. But just like that, it could have been over with. And for any one of us, just like that, it could be over with. And so we got to make sure that we're keeping things right. We understand that pride will keep us from getting into heaven. Procrastination can keep us from getting into heaven. What is our good excuse for not making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior? If we know that He is the Son of God. And we know that He was crucified on the cross for you and I and placed on the tomb and rose again on the third day. There is absolutely no reason for us not to be saved. No, we don't have a reason. Don't have an excuse. Because the Bible says if you'll believe that and confess Him. But you see, that confession is part of pride. Don't get mad at me now. But that, if it's our humanity that does, well, I don't want to get up and walk up in front of people. Right? We've all been there. We know what that's like. That's why, you know, a lot of folks will stand back there and hold to the seat and all that stuff. It's a pride thing in us, not wanting just to surrender to the Lord. And once you do, you're like, well, duh. Why in the world did I not do this a long time ago? Well, it's because the enemy had you blinded, trying to hold you back. He wants you to go to hell. But Jesus died on a cross so you could go to heaven. Amen. And so we have to make sure that we're not letting this pride keep us and causing us to go to hell. You know, even after Jesus rose from the dead, proved He was the Son of God, there were still those that would not believe the truth. And there's still those today that don't want to believe the truth. I'll just kind of summarize this. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, one of the deacons, he's preaching and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling them how, you know, that their forefathers had killed the prophets and now they were part of killing the Messiah. And as he's speaking to them, the Bible says, he's speaking, again, speaking out truths. The Bible says, they ran upon Him and started gnashing Him with their teeth. I mean, He's telling them the truth. But rather than them receiving and hearing the truth, He wasn't trying to condemn them over it. He wanted them to understand that Jesus had died for their sins. But they didn't want to hear that. They think about it. They ran on Him and started biting on Him. You think humanity's not crazy? And Stephen just keeps on preaching. He goes on his knees and he says, I see the heavens opened up. And the Bible says, as he's talking, they begin to yell and close their ears and run upon him and take him out and stone him to death. I mean, think about it. If you get a picture of that, did any of y'all's kids, and maybe you might do it right now, and some of your husbands and wives might do it to each other, but anybody ever go, I'm not listening! I'm not listening! I'm not, right? Come on now. That's basically what they were doing. They were yelling and closing their ears so they couldn't hear what he had to say. Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. We have to believe the words of God if we're going to be born again. We have to believe the words of God if we're going to live the life that God wants us to live. There's no choice in that thing. We have to learn to believe the truth. Well, what is the truth? Well, you know, they crucified Jesus for speaking truth. They stoned Stephen for preaching the truth. And it just came up in my spirit as I was studying this out. God said, they can kill the messenger, but they'll never kill the truth. They'll never kill the truth because it's forever settled in heaven. Here's the truth. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. See, it wasn't about God saying, yeah, all right, I'm going to send Him in there and let Him punish you all. No, God so loved the world that He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Think about that. God gave up His only Son not to condemn you, but so you could be saved. So I could be saved. So we could be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, that's the truth. The Lord Jesus was sent here so that you and I could have a way to heaven. Now, I'm going to close with this. You might not like the words that I've said today or the words that I say, but you have to be able to look around you and see the evidence of God. You have to be able to look around you and see that there is a God. And that same God who made everything also made a way for us to be able to go to heaven through and by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's up to us to hear His words and believe His words and obey His words, because we can look and see the results. Look around you and see all the people that have done that. And now they're on their way to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Now, when will that be? I don't know. I pray that Jesus tarries. God tarries for a long time. We've got lost family that needs to be saved. We got people we need in the kingdom. But if He comes in the next moment, I know I'm ready. Do you? Would you stand with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe Your words. We've seen the results. We've seen, Lord, how that You've proven time and time again that You're God. You've proven it in our lives. You've proven it in others' lives, Father. We have seen, Father God, the effects of Your Word. We ask You now, Father, to open up all of our eyes. God, that the God of this world don't blind us. But our eyes are open to see and know that Your Word is truth. And we must obey that truth if we want to go to heaven. Father, I pray right now, anyone listening to me that has not made You their Lord and Savior, that today they'll believe the words that I've said, that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them so that they could go to heaven.